I am so sick of the media dictating the terms of the narrative in this country. I'm so sick of having to be apologetic for who I am. I'm so sick of people in middle America being called a flyover country or slope-headed.
Conservative teabaggers.
It's going to be teabagging day.
It's hard to talk when you're teabagging. Appreciate it very much.
It's so funny because the teabaggers, the one thing they hate is when you call them racist.
If racism is not the whole of the Tea Party, it is in its heart.
The hatred that Timothy McVeigh, that he had. There are plenty of people like that right now.
Lots of.
I think you get the general tenor of this. It's anti-government, since this is highly promoted by the right-wing conservative network, Fox.
The left pits people against each other. Divide and conquer is the strategy. I don't want to live in that world. It is the exact opposite of E Pluribus Unum.
You falsely accused me of being involved in
the
racial incident.
He said you were involved.
You were. You are racist.
He said he worked.
You are very racist.
He said he worked.
You're going to be dealt with.
He said he worked for you.
It's going to come to light who you really are. It's going to come to light who you really are.
Hey, just answer one question. Yes or no?
What about the fake person?
Yes or no?
And what the left has stood for with political correctness is to try and get those with whom they disagree to shut up. And the Tea Party movement and Sarah Palin and Michelle Bachmann and Alan West and all the people that have gone out there against the mainstream media and said, you're going to call us racist? You're going to call us potential Timothy McVeighs? Fuck you. War.
Good morning, and welcome to Road Warrior Radio. You're tuning in live this Tuesday, March 5th, 2024, on the one and only Republic Broadcasting Network. And as always, thanks for coming along for the ride. It is a wild and dystopic ride. We'll talk about that a little bit. It is a liminal battle space, I would say, primarily, first and foremost, above all, with the one exception, of course, of the spiritual battle space that I think leads the liminal battle space, and that's really where the action is. If you're paying attention, you know, with the deep fakes conversation and things like that, who would do that? You know, who is the god of deception? I would say that's Satan. So there's that context or that perspective. If everything that you're doing can be, you know, if all of your action is directed by deception, what does that sound like? Doesn't that sound like there was a guy who wrote a while back something to the effect of all warfare is based on deception? And there are other instances of a similar sentiment being adopted. But it always has the connotation of warfare. When everything you do is led by deception, who are you trying to deceive and why? So I think that really explains a great deal. Again, it's kind of a meta context that we need to look at more than the outward appearance of things. We want to adopt a linear approach to things, and that just isn't where we're at these days. And I think we need to start thinking about things a little deeper. I think with all of the distractions around us, we have a tendency to be a mile wide and an inch deep. It's easy to do that. It's easy to be distracted, but we probably should be thinking about things a little deeper so that, for example, we don't walk into a minefield unwittingly and do bad things, whether literal or metaphoric. The results can be catastrophic either way. And one example might be you know, economically, a number of folks have said that we need to kind of reverse course, not be thinking globally and acting locally, but maybe thinking locally. But it's not quite that simple, is it? For a variety of reasons. I'll give you two quick examples. So one, the economic model that we have is designed to keep things in motion and sort of slough off the, you know, the cruft or the unnecessary, unwanted. And by that, I mean, those who understand the first money game don't want around. Because those who don't understand the first money game aren't going to be able to influence that process. So what happens is, because of this economic system that we have and because of the mechanisms that come along with it, let's just say legal in particular, the administrative fourth branch and so on, we've institutionalized immortality. We've talked about that in the past. And, you know, you can use foundations and think tanks as an example, just a clear illustration of the way in which we have institutionalized immortality to those who can afford it. And so that's interesting. People's influence continues on from beyond the grave. And so what do they get with their influence? And so that's one way, I think, pretty self-evident. Another way is when you think about doing something locally, the way that our society is set up now to accomplish anything really in the marketplace, if you want to mass produce a widget, for example, how are you going to do that locally? How are you going to bring it to market, first of all? Just kind of conceptually, how are you going to bring it to market locally with only, you know, only by local means? The people in your local community are going to help do that. We're relying on technology with broader and broader reach and production methods and so on, broader and broader reach. Or let's say, you know, that's one example. So how do you bring it to market? How do you mass produce it at scale locally? That starts to become problematic. What about the grocery store? Imagine all the things that we would do without if we really lived by this mantra of thinking and acting locally. How many people are prepared to go without, let's say, the fruit or vegetable that is not in season that we've all become accustomed to? Do you remember? I remember in school hearing about the things that used to influence the trade routes, things like spices, the spice trade and things, and the way it was always interesting to hear about who was trying to monopolize those things and why. And the same things have happened in the modern era, but we just maybe don't notice it quite as much, or we have come to accept it the same way that everyone has historically, as this is the way things are. And it's part of how we, you know, it's the trade-off. Sure, there is, you know, sure, we're exploiting disparities and things like that, but, you know, this is what we do in order to live the sumptuous Epicurean life that we live here in America. But the problem is that duplicity is, I think, playing tricks on us, and it ultimately is intended to be our downfall. I think you see it in a number of ways, not the least of which is the commerce that I'm talking about, but also, you know, in things like military service. People do not count the cost. They do not. We have a thing called the Defense Department that does anything but defend. What does it defend? If it defends anything, whom and what does it defend and protect? That should be the first question. And if it doesn't, if that doesn't align with our values, then we probably shouldn't send Junior Asparagus to be cannon fodder. But, you know, again, Junior can get fabulous cash and prizes for things like college and learn how to do fun things. And so therein lies the rub. And we are not good at the first or at the telephone game. So we don't pass word back in time so that the next generation says, now hold on a second, before we send Junior Asparagus off to be cannon fodder, let's have a serious conversation about this. How often does that happen? Do these fancy commercials with all the whiz bang stuff, and the recruiters are really good at saying, no, yep, you can absolutely. And I talked, when was that? Last Friday, I want to say. Recently, you know, Ben Suit's words regarding the military persona, which is different than conscription, where basically the idea is you are waving goodbye to your former life, in a sense, your identity, your civilian identity. And so these are things that we don't really think about, certainly not deeply. We're all in motion. We're all busy. And again, the economic system that we have is designed to do that. And think about matters of faith, for that matter. The Christian faith in particular is what I'm talking about. Faith is a word that has been, speaking of conscription, it has been conscripted to evil and watered down. Faith-based this and that is not the same as a relationship with one's creator through Jesus Christ. Anyway, Ben Suit, I think, said it best with the, you know, this warrior identity thing. The military is very good at creating what sociologists would call the warrior identity. They say you're leaving that civilian identity behind, or any of your other identities that you carry. And what is this with different identities? When did that happen? And you're becoming a soldier or a Marine, airman in the military, and so that's your new identity. It's a very, you know, I when I mentioned this, if you understand how cults work, it functions very much the same way, or gangs. In a certain sense, the terms are interchangeable. Does it teach people how to be self-sufficient and free-thinking in the sense that they're not just herd beasts? I think it's a rhetorical question. So those things are problematic, but we worship this. And there is a certain, you know, there's a certain romantic quality about military service. We all identify with it. It's one of those things inside us. Even, you know, what you read in the Bible, there's a certain romantic quality to, say, David and his mighty men, for example. And who doesn't want to be one of those guys? Or better yet, the guy commanding those guys One guy kills 800 guys with his bare hands, for example. I mean, it probably sounds strange to the ladies, but, you know, that's something that young men often fantasize about in childhood and things, which is why they're sort of drawn to military service by nature. But these concepts have been harnessed and weaponized and exploited for generations now. And, you know, again, getting back to the orthodoxy of, let's say, the institutions in our society, there is no legitimate basis in the orthodoxy of the Constitution, for example, for a standing army. There is no basis in constitutional orthodoxy for the National Security Act of 1947. And everything that comes along with it. But then what do you do without that? You want me on that wall, you need me on that wall. Do we really? Or do we learn to survive by our wits? It's, you know, the genie's out of the bottle at this point, and you can't put the genie back in the bottle, they say. So what do you do? And so we have all of this double-mindedness, this deception that is rampant and pervasive. And I think it's designed to be our undoing. We could be honest with ourselves and one another. Maybe we would have a chance, but in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, you read about deception. There is one who is coming in accord with the activity of Satan, with all power and signs and false wonders, and with all the deception of wickedness for those who perish. Why? Because they did not receive the love of the truth so as to be saved. For this reason, God will send upon them a deluding influence so that they will believe what is false, in order that they all may be judged. Who? Who did not believe in the truth, but took pleasure in wickedness. I think that the commercials that we see in things conspire against us. You know, when a network like, you know, the Great American Family Network says that they want to do something different, but they run the same drug commercials, and they run commercials like, Gorianna, I think it's pronounced. The Lovely Life commercial, for example. Gorianna Jewelry, and there are no men in the commercials. They're romantic commercials, but it's very... Remember, did you ever see the Saturday Night Live skits with the ambiguously gay duo? What's everyone looking at? There are no men in any of the Gorianna commercials, which is spelled Gorjana. Enunciate, that would be good. Pronounce Gorianna. If you look at these commercials, find a man in any of the commercials. So the Lovely Life commercial apparently was published earlier this year, January 29, 2024, I guess. Anyway, what does it say about a network that says, you know, we want to embrace Christian values, so-called, what does that mean? But we're going to run commercials for drugs. Side effects may include death. This, by the way, is not the way to handle your problems if you read the Bible at all. Freud's plague. Telling strangers, you know, about yourself. What could possibly go wrong? Maybe I'll give you an example. Unbelievable, the mess we're in because of the double-mindedness. And do we take pleasure in wickedness? I don't know. We got to do the prayer. Stick around. We'll be right back after this short break.
Do you truly want to stay out of the system? Are you prepared to buy into the biggest scam since the Iraqi dinar? If not, then put your money where it belongs, in your possession, not in the hands of an international MLM cartel. At Kettle Moraine Limited, we will provide you with the finest Swiss-minted detachable gram sheets of pure 24-karat gold for hundreds of dollars less than the so-called privately issued credit cards with elusive gold backing. Gold backing? The only gold that I want is in my back pocket, not backed by promises of an operation even the U.S. Chamber of Commerce is suspect of, giving a rating of C-. To get the full story, visit SierraMadrePreciousMetals.com and go to the Valcombe Bullion Vault. Once you have read the whole story about the scam being perpetrated on an unsuspecting public and how you can avoid being a victim by purchasing these beautiful, barterable, tradable sheets of gold at tremendous savings and in the strictest of privacy, be prepared to take the steps to protect your wealth with the purchase of the real deal. Detachable 50-gram gold bars from Kettle Moraine Limited by calling 602-799-8214. Ask about our 1-ounce Valcombe detachable bars, which break into 1/10-ounce bars. And don't forget, for all of your precious metal needs, whether buying or having the need to sell, call Kettle Moraine Limited. Remember, no dinar, no celery, and no carrots. If you buy from someone else, tell them you want AU, not BS. Call Kettle Moraine LTD today at 602-799-8214. Kettle Moraine LTD, 602-799-8214.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects.
Email Tom at republicbroadcasting.org. T-O-M at republicbroadcasting.org.
Welcome back in 1855, there was what they called the Great Gold Robbery that took place on the night of May 15, 1855, when a shipment of gold to Paris was stolen from the guards' van of the rail service between London and Folkestone. There were four robbers, apparently. Anyway, it was quite a haul, but who would steal gold anymore? You know, it's ironic. Again, I mean, the things that are valuable, do we value them, or do we value other things in the way that our priorities and perceptions have been turned upside down? And not by accident. You know, speaking of the Great American Family Channel, to pick on that a little bit, and the Goriana ads. Again, you know, what is the distinction? I saw that in Nashville, apparently, there's a club that opened that is They call it a Christian club, but it's a nightclub. So that's a little bit ridiculous. Spencer Smith did a video on that, actually. Everything is getting a sticker stuck on it. And it's, you know, if we call it Christian, then it must be Christian. But I think he did a good breakdown of that, a good assessment. I don't know, maybe I'll talk about that. This is, you know, everything is the thing in name only. Great American Family Channel in name only. This nightclub, Christian in name only. Republicans, Democrats in name only. It's, everything is hollowed out. A husk of what it should be. No substance. The form, but the substance, lacking the substance thereof. Anyway, probably should do the prayer without further ado. Probably a good idea, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the worldly governors, the princes of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness, which are in the high places. And it seems there are folks all too willing to collaborate and co-conspire wittingly or unwittingly, and at some point it's all the same. The word suborn comes to mind a lot these days, to induce secretly to do an unlawful thing. But you know what? What if we make it lawful, and then, or what if we induce you to do a thing, and then then we later on we make it unlawful, you know, ex post facto, basically. We knew we were going to do this all along. We just wanted to get you in a deal, and, you know, those kinds of things. Immoral, unrighteous. Anyway, to the prayer, the Lord's Prayer, and Ephesians chapter 6, the full armor. So Matthew 6, Ephesians 6. Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Lord, please help us to put on the full armor of God. Help us to gird our loins about truth. Put on the breastplate of righteousness. Shod our feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Help us to take up the shield of faith. Put on the helmet of salvation. Take up the sword of the Spirit. And help us to pray at all times in the Spirit. I pray that no weapon formed against the righteous shall prosper. All who walk in error would come to know the truth in Christ. Please reveal our hypocrisy and double-mindedness. I pray unrepentant evildoers be brought swiftly to justice. Wickedness be brought swiftly to an end. Righteousness be restored in the land. And poisonous trees and offshoots like brands and agencies, etc., conceived in malice, would collapse under the weight of their own evil. And all this I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So, we have a choice to make. It's interesting, you look throughout the Bible and you see these episodes where suddenly somebody among the people comes to their senses by God's grace, and they see things totally different. You know, Isaiah chapter 1 is an example of, like many others. I think Jeremiah 7 is another, and on. Anyway, maybe we'll talk about that when we come back. Stick around, more right after this break.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Tejibo Tea Club's original Pure Pau de Arco Super Tea helps build red corpuscles in the blood, which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit drinksupertea.com. The first word is drink, spelled D-R-I-N-K, then the word super, then the word tea. The complete website is drinksupertea.com or call us at 818-965-9113, Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-965-9113. DrinkSuperTea.com.
People often write to tell us what has happened for them since starting Extendivite. Allow me to read a few. In 1 month, my blood pressure dropped significantly. I no longer get chest pain after exercise. It's amazing, and I ordered my second bottle. The reviews are spot on. My target is to get off BP meds, and if it keeps going like this, I see a light at the end of the tunnel. So far, a great product is what it claims to be. Great product. A few days in and I could feel a difference for certain. Not checking medical stats yet. I know this is really working by how I feel. We'll continue to take this product. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit extendivite.com. That's extendivite.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Here's some interesting news. Due to all the recent claims about possible nuclear wars, viruses, solar flares, and civil unrest, people are scrambling to prepare and stockpile food. But the one thing out of reach for many is an underground bunker. Until now. Because you can now have a 3D printed underground bunker in just one day. An excavator digs a hole in your backyard, and 3DBunkers.com shows up in a small truck and sets up their 3D printer under a tent completely undetected. They can print as many rooms as you want at a fraction of the cost compared to traditional metal bunkers. 3D Bunkers uses polymer concrete, which is 5 times stronger than regular cement. YouTube 3DBunkers.com and watch the video. The creators of 3D Bunkers is looking for a business partner that can help bring this technology to the world. And we need to protect our way of life without living in fear. Contact Brad at 3DBunkers.com for more details or visit 3DBunkers.com.
It's the good life, full of fun, seems to be the ideal. Yes, the good life lets you hide all the sadness you feel. You won't really fall in love, 'cause you can't take the chance. So be honest with yourself, don't try to fake romance. It's the good life to be free and explore the unknown. Like the heartaches when you learn you must face them alone. Please remember I still want you, and in case you wonder why, well, just wake up, kiss that good life goodbye.
Welcome back. Who's in charge? Who decides? It comes back to that question. Truly, it's interesting what happens when your double-mindedness starts to go away. So I mentioned the Spencer Smith video. I alluded to it. The title of it is Nashville Has a New Christian Nightclub. I want to play, few minutes of it, not the whole thing. It's just shy of 11 minutes long, but we're going to jump in just before the 7-minute mark, because I think that's enough of an illustration of the point. And, you know, this dovetails into so many different things. We want to think about things linearly these days, I think. And if we're going to do that, the appropriate context is perhaps either the spiritual battle and or the liminal 5GW sort of space, fifth generation warfare, which is kind of, in a sense, the same as it has always been, as some people say, but different in the fact that everything is weaponized and our perception and our natural tendencies have been weaponized to a whole different level. So, anyway, without further ado, a little bit from Spencer Smith's Nashville Has a New Christian Nightclub. Go ahead, please.
But here's an old B.B. Warfield quote I want to share with you guys, something that I think that'll help you understand what we're saying here. If everything that is called Christian in these last days is Christianity, then there's no such thing as Christianity. A name applied indiscriminately to everything designates nothing. Now, here's the thing, like with the political left, you have to realize they are using the word racist, fascist, dog whistles and stuff like that to the point where it means nothing. Like they're literally calling everything fascist. Oh, you don't want complete totalitarian socialism in the United States of America? You're a fascist. Or they use the word racist. I mean, I even saw an article the other day that said that getting out of bed early in the morning was racist and that math was racist. I mean, I'm telling you, if everything's racist, then nothing is really racist, okay? And if we start throwing around the word Christian on everything, well, this is a Christian diet. This is a Christian yoga workout. This is a Christian gym. This is a Christian nightclub. This is a Christian beer hall. This is a Christian pool hall. This is Christian pornography. I mean, we've talked about that before. People do that stuff. Then nothing is Christian. I agree with B.B. Warfield. And you guys that are doing this stuff, you're on the wrong side of Christian history. You're trying to do something new. But the problem is when you do these new things, you're really just rehashing the same old heresies of the Old Testament. This is Baal worship in Jesus' name. This is Ashtoreth worship in Jesus' name. I mean, there's no such thing as getting crunk for Christ. There's no such thing. And this is what people need to hear today. This is what needs to be said. And so, I mean, I know there's probably a whole lot here. I just haven't got into it yet. But guys, look. Our book, Calling Evil Good, The Live Christian Rock and Roll, we explain to you, I think, very thoroughly why this is not good. I'm trying to get that to where you can see it. Why this is not good. You can't just throw the word Christian onto everything, slap it onto everything, and make it okay. It doesn't do that. Like, you can't say this is Christian drug abuse or this is Christian whatever. You can't say that. You have to let the Lord define all that stuff. And God is holy. God is not a nightclubber. He's not some yo-yo-yo for Jesus guy. He's not a baller. He's none of that stuff. Jesus Christ is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Allow the Bible to describe to you who God is and quit describing him in modern dialect. Quit using the terms of Ashtoreth. And as it says in Nehemiah 13, the young people speaking the language of Ashdod. And they can't even speak the Jews' language. Quit talking about the man upstairs. Quit talking about Jesus as my homeboy. That is the language of Ashdod. And that's a tragedy. So check out our book, link in the description below. Have a good day. We'll see you guys later. Awesome.
Now here's what's interesting. He ends the video with his little yo-yo-yo thing that goes on for 2 minutes or so. Isn't that interesting? Is that double-minded? And B.B. Warfield is an interesting character. I think I mentioned him back in 2022, speaking of the way things have changed. I think I did in around September to November, something like that. And you have, Jay Gresham Machen and other influential figures that dovetail into, you know, there are the influencers, the movers and shakers, and then there are the rest of us. And it's interesting how, you know, again, who's in charge, who decides? Let me see if I can compare and contrast real quick. In simple terms, if you are a Bible-believing person, then you look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1, for example, to see evidence that, you know, one of the common misconceptions in Christian circles is, hey, you know, look what Katy Perry is doing, or Lady Gaga. Katy Perry is, you know, an interesting study on this, you know, super talented person. And, you know, maybe if this person comes to Christ, then, you know, they can use these talents. And I think God would have it the other way. You know, don't sing. Don't use that thing that you've done and try to put God's seal of approval on it. And if you look at 1 Corinthians 1, you see evidence of that, I think. Paul says, for indeed Jews ask for signs, and Greeks search for wisdom, Kabbalah and Gnosticism, in my mind. But we preach Christ crucified, to Jews stumbling, a stumbling block, and to Gentiles foolishness, to the, you know, to the wise and the learned scholars of this world. But, you know, he says before this, for the word of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the cleverness of the clever I will set aside. Where is the wise man? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Even guys like Richard Dawkins have been caught in their own hypocrisy. Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom did not come to know God, God was well pleased through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who are who believe. So skipping forward, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. And Paul says, for consider your calling, brethren, that there were not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble. These guys are the dream team. They're the washouts. You know, they didn't even make junior varsity. Not men of letters, not scholarly, not, you know, senior fellows at their local think tanky, et cetera, et cetera. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. Why? God has chosen the weak things of the world to shame the things which are strong. And the base things of the world and the despised God has chosen, the things that are not, so that he may nullify the things that are. Why? So that no man may boast before God. But by his doing, you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, so that, just as it is written, let him who boasts, boast in the Lord. You don't need a special person with special Montanist revelation. God is perfectly able and capable. So, you know, you look at guys like B.B. Warfield, and the quote is fitting, but, you know, you look at that group of guys, and this contingent of thought leaders, the Princeton, what do you call it? Princeton Theological Seminary crowd. And speaking of Mackin, he, you know, like so many of these guys, which is it? You know, from Mackin's Wikipedia entry, early adulthood, It's you know, so often this. In 1898, the 17-year-old Mackin began studying at Johns Hopkins University for his undergraduate degree and performed sufficiently well to gain a scholarship. He majored in classics and was a member of the Phi Kappa Psi fraternity. Mackin was a brilliant scholar and in 1901 was elected to Phi Beta Kappa Society after graduation. I don't know about you, but that sounds more like the things that are to me than the things that are not. And then you skip down pre-war period. In 1906, Mackin joined the Princeton Seminary as an instructor in the New Testament. After receiving an assurance that he would not have to sign a statement of faith, well, why wouldn't you want to do that? Among his Princeton influences were Francis Landy Patton, who had been the prosecutor in a 19th century heresy trial, and B.B. Warfield, whom he described, as the greatest man he had ever met. Warfield maintained that correct doctrine was the primary means by which Christians influenced the surrounding culture, which is probably why someone like Spencer Smith gloms onto a B.B. Warfield. The problem is, well, let me just keep reading. He emphasized a high view of Scripture and the defense of supernaturalism, as it's called. It appears that under their influence, Mackin resolved his crisis of faith. Was he one of the soft apostate crowd? Was he too intellectual for his own good? In 1914, he was ordained, and the next year he became an assistant professor of New Testament studies. It's funny how you can go through a crisis of faith and, you know, not have to write your statement of faith, but you can teach. You can teach the New Testament, and that's fine. Anyway, there are a number of these kinds of folks who, you know, what Wikipedia would call supernaturalism in this context, the Christian would call Christian faith. Hebrews chapter 11, for example, people say blind faith. It's not blind faith at all, and it's not without evidence, because Hebrews 11:1 says that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, which is, I would say, very much like house plans and dirt. It's the substance of things hoped for. You have dirt, you have lumber, maybe you have acres of trees and your portable sawmill or something like that, and dirt and shovels, things like that. It's the substance of things hoped for, and the evidence is the plans that you've drawn up. Here's what we're going to build with this dirt and this lumber. So it's not without, you know, it's not blind, and that's, you know, that's a whole different discussion. Anyway, supernaturalism. So the question, you know, this is mocking the Christian faith to say supernaturalism. Who's in charge? Who decides? And the whole premise of the concept of supernaturalism sounds anachronistic, superstitious, you know, antiquated, all that kind of stuff. No, that's from a bygone era. It's mocking, and that's fine. 1 Corinthians 1 talks about that. But, you know, it's interesting. Who's in charge? Who decides this versus hero worship, which is everywhere? Again, speaking of guys like B.B. Warfield or J. Gresham Mackin, it's everywhere, and it persists today. It's a, you know, there's a particularly virulent strain. When things get weird, people look to, you know, those who fancy themselves strong enough, and that's problematic. Think about it. Beware the guy who says, I know what to do, follow me. Because that always ends in disaster. We're all people. You know, I think of Jefferson's inaugural address, and the idea that, you know, we found angels. Sometimes it is said that man cannot be trusted with the government of himself, can he then be trusted with the government of others? Oh, but these guys are experts. Okay, well then why does their expertise keep leading us astray constantly over and over and over? Their expertise has given us a monetary system that has eaten out our substance, sent our warrior class to die or otherwise be destroyed, and so on. It has had the expert class has had a disastrous effect on us here in America, for example. Maybe we should rethink the experts. And then there is the hubris. I'm going somewhere with this. Stick around. We'll be right back.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Hi, Tom Bolton for Ease Off. I know so many of you are finding our EZ4 carcass drop and lift an essential tool for your meat processing operation, but today I want to spotlight four of our new products. First, our right height hog cradles with steel or aluminum frames. Our customers love this back-saving innovation that enhances sanitation and speeds production. Next, our beef cradles with stainless steel or aluminum frames eliminate rust and corrosion. We hope you'll compare our quality and prices for this essential part of your processing line. Our cradles are especially effective when used with our power skinner. And finally, our hook tumbler will keep your hooks clean and polished. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
EaseOff, LLC, 417-932-6419.
Hello, hello, hello from beautiful Colorado. My name is Samuel Jung Kay, and I am currently the lead Shilajit hunter and master herbalist for Colorado Shilajit Company. In this video series, I will be discussing what we believe is the greatest of all adaptogenic superfoods and the single greatest natural healing remedy gifted to us by Mother Earth. I think you too will become as excited by this incredible substance called Shilajit as we were and are after our discovery of this amazing gift right here in beautiful, colorful Colorado. You may already know Shilajit by other names. Shilajit, Momio, Momi, Mami, Mineral Pitch, Asphaltum, and others. Shilajit literally translates to destroyer of weakness and conqueror of mountains. Shilajit has been in use for thousands of years and is considered as the highest valued cure-all of any earthly substance.
Look for the gold mountain and medical symbol logo in banners on republicbroadcasting.org to watch the full video and see more information. Use code GORBN when ordering. That's G-O-R-B-N.
When you were here before, you couldn't look you in the eye. You're just like an angel. Your skin makes me cry. You flow like a feather in a beautiful world. I wish I was special. You're so very special, but I'm a creep. I'm a weirdo. What the hell am I doing here?
Welcome back.
I want to have control.
Probably get into this in the second hour, but Naomi Wolf did an interesting breakdown recently of she wrote a thing over on Substack, published on March 3rd, covering President Donald Trump at CPAC. Notes from a former political consultant. And so she opens and she says, "This is one of those essays I fear to write. I fear that those who are passionate admirers of President Trump will take umbrage at my notes about his recent speech at CPAC, and that those who are appalled at the mere mention of his name will be even angrier at me than they usually are, as in this essay, I treat him seriously as a presidential candidate. As many know, I used to be a political consultant for President Clinton's reelection campaign in 1996 and for Vice President Gore's 2000 presidential campaign, but I was a consultant. Oh, excuse me, before I was a consultant, I was a White House spouse. My then husband was a speechwriter for both President Clinton and for Mrs. Clinton. I became familiar with, from an observer's distance, with the intense cycle of presidential speechwriting and revision. Then I became a consultant and participant in observing the speechwriting process myself. You know, how far does a Rhodes Scholar ever stray from their training? Who knows? Who's to say? Who can say? But, you know, we'll look at this, and the lens that I see this through is particularly Hayek's Road to Serfdom, Chapter 10, Why the Worst Get on Top. And that notion of who seems strong and resolute enough to get things done. And I think that's who she's talking about. And uniting people on the three main reasons why such a strong group with fairly homogenous views is not likely to be formed by the best, by the worst elements of any society. The three main reasons why the, you know, the demagogue will weasel his way to the top. Who's culpable? Is the weasel culpable? Absolutely. Are the people culpable? Absolutely. Especially when we have deception, fraud and deception occurring right out in plain sight, election after election, generation after generation. But you know what? When you're double-minded, who cares? Second hour coming up. Stick around. We'll be right back after this short break.
One of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs. For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee.
Hemppaste.com/RBN. Free shipping on orders over $50. See the banners for Hemp Paste at republicbroadcasting.org and visit hemppaste.com/RBN.
You're listening to Real Talk Radio. Only on the Republic Broadcasting Network.